Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
Tonight, and we hope everybody's doing well. So excited for the show tonight.
Yep, we got a great time ahead for everybody. But first of all, last week we had mentioned that Lisa's daughter was going to be going and competing. Lisa, you want to let us know how your daughter did at the horse show this last weekend?
Well, thank you. She did real well. We were in the Nashville show this weekend. It's a learning to event. She ended up placing 6 out of 18 in her group. So that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. So we're very proud of her. She did real well.
So, oh, wow. 6 out of 18, that is good. That is really good.
Yes, it was. It was wonderful. And the other two girls that was with our barn, one of them got first and one of them got third. So all three of our girls were in the top 6. So that's wonderful.
Bravo.
Yeah. So it's wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. That's, you know, that's memory she'll always have, and, you know, she'll always have that trophy. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. And she's worked hard for it, too. It wasn't just handed to her. She actually had to earn it. So that's saying a lot right there.
Certainly is.
Yes, it is. Well, I wanted to first, before we really get into the evening, I know Lisa feels the same way I do, but we would like to send our well wishes and prayers out to the people suffering in Louisiana from the flooding. It's been a horrible thing to witness on the news each and every day, the loss and the devastation they're facing. So we just want everybody to know that we're thinking of you, you're in our prayers. And anybody else in other parts of the country that's also having some problems, just know that we're all together here, and we care about you, and we want you to, you know, to all come out healthy and safe and everything. So,
yeah.
If I quit talking, I'll start crying because it's really bothered me.
Yeah, it is. It's a sad situation. And, of course, you know, us being associated with the barn, we also had heard there were several animals, you know, of course, always there's animals involved that lose their lives and get separated from their owners. And so, so I send prayers out to everyone, including, you know, the poor animals that, you know, can't take care of themselves. So I feel sorry for the ranchers, the farmers, you know, and everything that's lost their animals.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
keep them in prayer.
It's a rough time, but you know what? Everybody pulls together. I was so. It really made me feel good when I saw the people from New Orleans loading up things and goods and everything to go help the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Baton Rouge. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, that just shows Americans care for each other, and that just kind of makes your heart warm and feel good, and, you know, no matter all the ugliness we see in the world, when times get rough, we always pull together. So
that's
what it's all about. So anyway, I want to touch real bases, let everybody know that I have a new book coming out. It's going to be out in time for Christmas. It's called Saying Goodbye. It's a little novella, and I'm currently making the audio version for it, so I'll be doing the reading on that. It's been a learning experience for me.
The story is fabulous. I've had the privilege of reading it, and the story is fabulous. It's there's just no you. It's a big treat for anyone who gets this book. You will not be disappointed. It's a wonderful Christmas story, and I'm looking forward to the audio version. It's going to be awesome.
Mm.
So,
I gave Lisa a little sneak peek the other night of it. So,
that'll be good.
Yep. Okay, so I've done plugged me a little bit. So, let's get on to the really fun stuff, because we have Jamie L. White. She's waiting in the wings to join us on Deadly Reads Radio tonight, and we're going to enter into her exciting world. Now, Jamie is an author. She's a blogger, a photo geek, music addict, editor, pop culture geek, and a pet servant. Oh, gosh, aren't we all? Anyway, she spent more than a decade as a journalism student geeking out over PageMaker, layout design, and other stuff. Now, in college, she took it a step further and became the only student to be on all three over colleges publications, serving as editor-in-chief for two of them. And then later she went on to be a freelance writing, she went on to do freelance writing and blogging. Now she began her journey into fiction writing in 2010 after joining a writing group. And since that first meeting, Jamie has completed a bunch of short stories, 5 manuscripts, and has a few now in progress. Jamie released The Life and Times of No One in Particular in 2012 and followed it up with a story in the Lyrical Muse anthology in 2013 and 2 novellas through Pagan Writers Press the same year. Now, when Jamie is not writing or blogging, she takes pictures, meditates, practices, she'll have to tell me how to pronounce it, Reiki, and chanting, watches her favorite shows, movies, takes walks, and serves as a volunteer for the Florida Writers Association by running their social media and writing group, Gulfstream Writers. I tell you what, she's busy, Lisa. So why don't
she's
we give
busy.
Let's give Jamie a warm welcome. Hi, Jamie. Welcome to Deadly Reads.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, thank you.
Now, how is that pronounced? Because I know I slaughtered it.
Reiki.
Reiki? Okay. If there's Reiki. A name that I can mess up, I will. Horrible about it. The regular listeners know that. Uh-oh, Linda's got a hard word. She's going to slaughter it. So anyway, I had to laugh because before the show, we were talking about our animals and all these storms that have been rolling through the South the last few weeks. And Jamie was telling us about her sweet cat and how it mm-hmm. doesn't like the storms and all that. So when she said she's a pet servant, that's why I giggled, because all three of us were laughing about how our animals basically rule our houses. So,
they do. It's their house. They just let us live in it.
That's right. You're right.
Well, especially
and the quicker
a cat.
We learn that, the better off we are.
Yes, but especially a cat, because a cat.
I always
say this. Cats knew that in ancient Egypt they were worshipped as gods.
Mm-hmm.
And they have never forgotten it, and they will remind you on a daily basis.
Exactly. I curse the Egyptians all the time for that.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, that's just too funny. Too funny. So anyway, let's get started with you. Now, what drew you to write horror and occult stories? Because that's quite an interesting genre.
It is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved, the paranormal, stories and, stuff like that. It's my favorite movie when I was five was Poltergeist.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
So it's always been a favorite of mine. So, when I started writing, it just seemed like it was natural to, write that way. Especially, in high school, I started reading, a friend of mine introduced me to Christopher Pike books. And when I started reading that, it was like, something kind of clicked, and that's kind of what I, use as inspiration when I'm writing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, my daughter was really into that stuff when she was young too, and she always had one of his books stuck in her nose, So, yeah.
Oh yeah, I still read them.
Yep, they're very true. But you know what? I think people that are really into that are much more interesting. You have depth to your character, So makes it interesting. Now, because you write in that and you're so fascinated with it, have you ever experienced anything paranormal in your life?
Yeah, I've had a few interesting experiences. the one time, for instance, one day I was I had my husband's phone. I was going through some of the pictures, and I looked at one of the pictures. I'm like, there's something weird with this. He had taken a picture of our cat, Cleopatra, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, there's something not right. And then I looked at it closer, and I'm like, oh, my God, that looks like Casey. It was that was our dog that passed from a stroke in 2010, but we did not even have that phone when he was around. So when I saw that thing in the corner that kind of looked like part of his face and his tongue, I was like, whoa.
Wow.
He's watching over you.
Yeah. So it's like, I had what they call the sleep paralysis, a bunch of times. And, one time it just happened to come right after I had a dream with my grandmother, after she passed. And all of a sudden I had that sleep paralysis, and I heard this huge crash, but there was nothing, in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wow. I heard that, like, loud noises like that are a part of that. Like, when you're,
mm-hmm.
it's supposed to be, like, a thing where you're, like, outside of your body, and that's you coming
mm-hmm.
back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's,
wow.
I had that a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something you need to be careful, though. You need to be careful about leaving your body, because they say that if your soul's out of your body and somebody disrupts the physical form, that it can make it hard for you to get back. That's what I've always
really?
Been told. So, yeah, so be careful if you're out wandering around. Just don't let your husband flip over and mess with you. Anyway, oh shoot. Okay, I'm in one of those moods. I want to warn you ladies right now, I'm kind of messy tonight. So.
You know, I was just sitting there listening to her talk about the out-of-body experiences, and I know we had talked about this to another guest about how, you know, you're kind of, you're sleeping and you wake up and you think you're awake, but you're not actually awake. And you try to get out of the dead, and you can't move. No matter how you try to move your arms and your legs, your something, it feels like, you know, somebody is holding you down, or you know, it's, I don't know how to explain it, but I have experienced that before, and I'm not sure if that's the same thing, but I have experienced.
Oh yeah, that's it exactly. That's exactly
that
what I had for like, and I had a period of time where I did that like a lot.
Yeah,
and then
it's kind of
it went away
scary.
For a while, and then after my grandmother passed, it happened again, like you know, once, and then I haven't really had that, but yeah, it's crazy. You feel like there's somebody there in the room.
Right, it's been
but
a while
you know,
since that I've felt that, but I'll have to start documenting that when it happens and see if it's around significant events or something in my life. That would be interesting. Yeah.
Well, now, since you're open to all this, do you find that it helps you in writing your stories? That your mind is open to the possibility of these things?
Definitely. You know, like one of my, one thing was actually I worked it into my book, the Stains trilogy, because I got involved with this Yahoo group with all these people that, you know, we would talk about like meditation and like psychic readings and things like that, and people in the group would, you know, give each other readings. And the one day I was given a reading, and it just like freaked me out, because they told me in that reading that at a certain age I had died of a lung issue.
Oh my
goodness. Well, when I was that same age, I had a bout with chronic bronchitis. I used to have it for like years, for like months, and then it went away for, you know, several years. And then all of a sudden that year, I got it back again, really bad, along with this like almost freaky fear of like death. And I never really understood what that was. I never really got it until that girl said that. And then I was like, oh my God. It was like almost like a cell memory or something. You know, so when I dream, that gave me a little bit of inspiration for that series. I kind of worked that whole like concept into it.
Well, I remember, you know, this does remind me of a show I watched, I think it was on the History Channel or one of those a few years ago, and they were talking about past life regression and all that, and they were saying, you know, that a lot of people that if they have like neurotic issues and you know, they try to get counseling and nothing seems to work, and, you know, they like, you know, repetitive things or, you know, obsessing about things or, you know, or whatever like that. And they've regressed certain people, and they found out that in a previous life something traumatic had happened, and that's how they died, you know. I remember them talking about one guy that he had some sort of a weird birthmark, and after he found out that that's where he was stabbed, you know, with not a sword, but you know what I'm talking about. I can't think of the word now. You know, the long pole with the pointy end thing. Lance. When he was pulling, he was stabbed with a lance.
Yeah.
I told you brain fart today. But anyway, when he was stabbed with a lance in battle way back, you know, a long, long time ago, once he realized that's how he had died, you know, not only did the internal issues, because he was having a lot of sickness and different, not only did those go away, but that weird-looking birthmark went away. It was like marking a memory of a past life trauma. Yeah, it's been really interesting. So you saying that, I can understand, you know, where that, because I've seen so many, read so many different things about that, that, you know, and I'm a firm believer in reincarnation. I believe our souls are eternal. I believe we're on an eternal journey. So I can see where that would definitely, you know, be something very interesting. So, so you're saying you worked that into your series then, huh?
Yeah, I did.
I
worked it through where it was like one particular life that, you know, had this impact that has been following her through every other life after that. Yeah, now she's got to try and resolve this, you know, issue.
Well, that sounds like it'd be really interesting.
It does.
Now, can you give us a brief description of your stories? You know, you've explained that. Do you want to tell us about some of your other ones?
Sure. The Life and Times to No One in Particular is the first book I wrote. And basically, it is the biography of a muse, where she's, you know, tells her story, like all the people she's worked with and what she thinks about different things. And then, let's see, the Lyrical Muse story was actually inspired by the Carrie Underwood song, Two Black Cadillacs. A song about a girl who finds out that she's being cheated on. So her and the other girl get together and they kill the guy. I put a little bit of a less evil twist on it. But there's the revenge aspect in there.
Nothing wrong with revenge.
The Stains books, like I said, they're about a girl who, you know, she has these dreams of somebody burning at the stake. And what she finds out is that was actually her, you know, being burned as a witch. And, you know, that has been impacting her in different ways throughout these different lives. And now it's all coming to a head again, and she's got to try to, you know, figure all this out and resolve all this stuff so that she doesn't end up, you know, the same way that she has every other time.
Now, what is the name of that story? What is the name of that one?
That is Stains on the Soul. That one's getting re-released this month, and then there will be two more books getting rolled out over the next 2 months, like September and October, Trembling Souls and Smashing the Slate.
That sounds really, really interesting.
Thank you.
I like that.
Let me see. The others up are the Lightworker series that is about a girl who... Basically, my favorite tagline that basically describes this whole thing is one that my husband came up with. Learning your family tree isn't supposed to turn into a fight for survival.
Yes.
That's good.
So she starts digging around. You know, she things happen that make her start questioning a lot of things. She starts digging around, finds out some things about her family and herself, and basically it just starts a whole chain of events where she's just, like, tortured, basically. And, so she's, like, you know, trying to build herself back up after basically getting torn down in that thing.
Now, question, what inspired you to write this? Do you have some interesting people in your family tree?
I could. That I don't know about, but nothing quite like that. The one metaphysical center I go to, where they have a Reiki circle, we went in one day and we're sitting in the Reiki master leading it. She said to everybody, she looked around and then she's like, "I have a surprise for everyone. You know, if you walk through the store, you are a light worker." And basically that little phrase kind of stuck in my head, and that's when I got the idea to write a story about a girl who's a light worker.
A white worker? What's that? What's a white worker?
It's basically someone who is incarnated to spread light and to serve and to heal and, you know, different things like that.
That's much better than what my husband was told by a lady years ago. he had met a woman, and she considered herself, she was a practicing witch, you know, and everything. And he was, when he was young, he was mowing her yard for her. She was an older lady. And one day she invited him in and gave him some lemonade, you know, and, you know, it was hot outside. And they sit at the table. She made him a sandwich, and she goes, "You know that you and I knew each other in a previous life." Now, she was, you know, she's an older woman, so it wasn't nothing, you know, anything nasty about it. Of course, he says, "I'm just chewing on my sandwich, drinking my lemonade, and looking at her like, oh, yeah." And she goes, he goes, "The next thing kind of floored me." He goes, "And it's always kind of bugged me since." And she goes, "Yes, you used to be a black wizard. You were very powerful." You know, and he's like, yeah.
Wow.
And he's like, "Oh, really? What does that mean?" You know, so for years he put it behind. Well, then our daughter-in-law, she delves into, you know, the occult and, you know, paganism and all that kind of stuff. And she says, I don't know, you know, but she says she can see auras. And she talked about how he has a space, a light space that is connected to him, but around that is a thin layer of black, like he's keeping it at bay. And
wow.
when he told her what that lady had said, she goes, "Well, that makes sense then." And he's like, "Well, do I have to worry about turning into a dark wizard and doing horrible things?" She goes, "No, because you have a good heart." Yeah. I'm sitting there going, "Crud, I'm going to die."
Oh, jeez.
I've never been told I had any previous identities, so he probably killed me in a past life or something. I don't know. And his penance is to put up with me in this one. But anyway. So now, what is this Reiki been like? Totally slaughtered it earlier. What is that? I'm curious.
It is, Reiki is actually two words. Reiki, it means spiritually guided energy. And basically, you are, when you go through your Reiki attunement, you are able to channel that energy. And you use it to, you know, help facilitate, like, you know, emotional healing, physical healing, relaxation, things like that when you, you know, lay your hands on somebody. You know, so it's interesting. They describe it as being like a water hose. You know, the energy comes through the hose and you're the, you know, hose that it comes out of.
The conduit. You're the conduit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's good. In other words, yeah, so basically then you just help with positive flow. Then you help with channeling positive flow for people. I like that.
Yeah,
positive
basically it's
good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's like when you go through the, you know, attunement thing, it's like the one I went to, it's a weekend class, and it's so emotionally and physically like exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
But, yeah, but afterwards it's kind of cool, and I mean, you do better and you do, you know, little changes happen. You know, I noticed they warned us that, well, you know, you're probably, if you have pets, you know, they're probably going to want to sit around you a lot more, and that happened, and after the first one, they warned, now there could, you know, be conflicts that come in, and that happened, like, right after. Yeah, because you change a little bit, and you know, maybe people don't, you know, deal with that energy very well, and then you know, little things like that happen. So, yeah, I mean, pretty much everything that they said could end up happening happened.
Oh, really?
It turned into a positive.
A lot of times, too, that's an unknown force for a lot of people, and it makes them nervous. You know.
Yeah.
Well, that could be a lot of it, too. They just don't understand it. And it's a lot of times what you don't understand, you fear, and so you push away. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's
you
true.
Know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, tell us about your other interests that you like your love of music, and you called yourself a photo geek. You're going to have to explain this stuff to us.
I have always loved music. I mean, yeah, that's always been, like, the first thing. I love singing. A lot of the times I'll do that, like, right before I start writing. You know, I'll take like a, you know, whatever playlist I made up, and I'll sit there and I'll just sing along with the music and just kind of get myself in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always been a favorite of mine. And, you know, I love everything, any genre, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, photo geek, I just love taking photos. I love going out and, you know, mostly like nature photos and wildlife photos. Like any little things I come across, like turtles or squirrels or whatever, you know, rainbows, you know, whatever, whatever, like catch up my eye. I gotta get a picture.
It's very relaxing.
Yeah, it's
a very relaxing thing
definitely
to do.
Fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is really neat. Now, one thing my husband has always said he wanted to do, I don't know if it has to do with that dark wizard, no, but anyway, he's always thought that it would be really fun to travel around and go to old cemeteries and just take pictures of the different headstones and the and everything, because he said, you know, there's so much history there, and people's lives, and, you know, is that something, have you ever done that type of photography, or are you strictly basically sticking with nature and the sweet little critters?
Yeah, mostly I'm happy sticking with the sticking with nature and the little creatures.
Okay.
Yeah,
he'd watched a show one night about some guy that does it, and he goes, that would really be interesting. I said, well, you go some of them older ones, some of the tombstones are pretty funny, you know, when they put how they died or have something colorful to say about them.
Matt.
Can't do that nowadays. Now, what things get you excited in pop culture?
I love any of, I mean, music, I love it. I cannot, you know, go a day almost without listening. And, yeah, I love to, I just love reading, and I love watching, you know, different shows and just, like, seeing, this, you know, all these stories play out. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm always, like, you know, doing one or the other. Yeah, I'm always doing one of them.
Right. Now, when you go to a movie, what type of movies do you like to go watch?
I am not like a huge movie goer. I'm more of a, you know, I'm more into the TV shows, but I do like, I like comedies. I like, we just watched Oculus for the first time the other day, and I loved that movie. It was so good. So good.
I haven't seen that yet, but I've heard it's good. So it's on my list to watch. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Then you wrote horror and all that. You'd like to watch the scary movies. You just write them. You don't like to necessarily watch them.
I do watch a few. I mostly, like I said, I mostly like the like TV shows. I was a huge Buffy fan. Yeah.
Well,
Angel, Charmed. I like Salem.
You do know they're coming out with a TV series, Poltergeist. Is it Poltergeist? I believe they're coming out, or the TV series.
Really?
They are. No, I'm sorry. It's the, forgive me. It's the, because I never did see this particular movie, but I remember seeing, it was the one of the little girl where she turned her head around. Well, it was that movie.
That's Poltergeist. That's Poltergeist.
Oh, was it Poltergeist?
Yeah.
Right.
She goes,
well,
they're here.
That one.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
are they doing something else with that?
They're making a TV series out of it. So it's coming soon. Yeah. So.
I'm not. Like remakes, I'm having a hard time dealing with them.
Right. Yeah.
I see
yeah.
so many coming out. I saw that they redid the original Poltergeist movie, and I'm like,
yeah.
no.
Yeah. Well, this is a TV series, so I'm wondering how it's gonna play out. So I need to watch the movie and then I'll know.
Well, I don't know, Jamie. I don't know if you're like Lisa and I, but I think all these movie people and TV people, they need to start talking to the indie authors. And get some new and fresh ideas.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, we've said that. My husband and I have like talked about that so many times. We just see like so many remakes happening, like the new Ghostbusters one, and they redid Gem and the Holograms, and yeah, they just redo like, it seems like they're just going down a checklist of like every popular like 80s or 90s movie and just like making them at random.
Right.
And it's like, there's so many indie author books or so many other books. Can't you just at least make a movie out of one of those if you don't want to?
Yeah, I know.
Like, come up with your
that
own story.
That are so different.
Like, so
you
have
know.
To keep redoing and you know,
they would
imagining,
never
like,
run.
Everything we liked.
Right. They would never run out of fresh material if they would start picking authors and their books and some of their stories and making them into movies. That, you know, so, yeah, I'm sick of the remakes.
Now, I don't mind if they're continuing with a story, but just redoing what was already done, I just think that's a waste of time.
Yeah, I mean, some of the remakes some of the originals, it's like, how can you even touch that? It's such a classic. Like, for instance, Dirty Dancing with Patrick Swayze. Why would you even dare try and mess with that? You know, or like Gone with the Wind and those kind of classics. Why would you even touch those? It's, you know.
Dirty Dancing. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
they couldn't make Gone in the Wind anyway today. They said it's too anti PC.
Oh, please don't say that too loud. They might get ideas.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. I had heard that they were trying to remake that movie.
I didn't say that. I'm taking it back.
leave it to me. Dang open it. My mouth. I'll take it back. So it's all gone.
But yes, I mean, there are several great books by indie authors. You know, I mean, we've interviewed so many talented people, and they have so many offerings. And you know, Lisa and I have a couple we'd like to, you know, throw in the mix too that we've written. You know,
I'd be more than happy to, you know, hand over any rights to, you know, do any of that. Come on, people.
I tell them all, I say all the time, and I don't have so much ego that I would think that they couldn't change things up some, you know. It's like,
oh, I agree,
sure,
totally.
Just go for it, have fun.
I just want to see my little name on the screen, you know, original story.
Inspired by.
Yeah. Well, I want
that'd be nice, too. Okay, Lisa, we're shallow. We'll just admit it now.
Oh,
goodness sakes. Okay. Back to the show. Time to be serious. Okay, now. Oh, the heck, we're having fun. Can you tell us about when you were editor-in-chief in college, that position you did? What all did you do? That sounds so impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It was kind of funny because at the time the newspaper had some issues and, you know, nobody was coming back really that knew how to run the program that they were using, PageMaker. And I was the only one that knew how to do that. Yes, from my high school yearbook. So I kind of, you know, by default, you know, kind of stepped in and, you know, took that rollover. And, you know, basically I, you know, would, you know, see what was going on around campus, like maybe, you know, write up a list and, you know, run the, you know, staff meeting where people would like take assignments or, you know, maybe give a few ideas for what they wanted to write about. And then once they wrote them, I'd read them over, make corrections and, you know, basically design the layout. You have the newspaper, place stuff in there, you know, the pictures and the little documents and everything. And basically help distribute the newspaper to the different campuses.
Do you find that experience has helped you in your writing experience, in your writing career? Do you feel that that's helped you some?
I think it did. I think it did in that, you know, when you're in journalism and you're trying to put out a paper, like the scariest thing in the world is missing your deadline. It's
right.
Like, that's just something you don't do that. So, if anything, it put that fear of the deadline into me. And I'm like, okay, this date I have for this book, I've got to get this done by this day, you know, or else. it does kind of get you organized and get you, you know, focus on, okay, I have to get this done by this date.
Right. You know, and I have learned as an indie author, I'm going to stop putting out due dates to myself and putting it out in public, you know, like saying, okay, I'm going to have this book out by such and such. Because every time I do that, it never works out.
Oh, no.
So.
In other words, it's okay to give yourself the due date, but don't let it out to the public, is what
yes,
you're saying, Lisa?
Yes, don't let it out to the public.
There you go.
Right. Because it never works out. So.
If people knew, if our readers knew what kind of craziness happens at our keyboards, banging our heads on our desk and going, oh, my God, I just can't do this. And, if people knew what was going on at times, they'd lock us up.
Just screaming at smash words, what is your problem with this document? I did it the same way every other document is done.
Right.
Oh, the meat grinder, the infamous meat grinder,
gotta love that meat grinder.
No, you don't. If you want to know why a lot of writers drink, that is one of them right there.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Or when you have your outline
you
all written out. Or when you have your outline, when you actually bother to do an outline and then your character decides like partway through the story, no, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And like, okay. All right. Well, there goes that outline. I'll just toss that right in the garbage right there.
You just cross your arms and say, "Okay, character, go ahead. You want to leave the thing? Go for it."
Exactly.
Yay! Right. I just have somebody that argues with their character.
Oh, yeah. I lose, by the way. So. I'm not bothering. The couple times I tried to take control and like be all, okay, I'm going to experiment. I'm going to do an outline.
Mm-hmm.
Character decided they were going to do something else anyway, so I'm like, oh, okay, fine, I'll go with it. And then another time I experimented with something people do, like where they write the ending first.
Yeah.
And then they write toward that ending. I wrote the ending. I wrote the story. I showed it to my husband. He's like, wouldn't it be cool if you did this instead? I was like, crap.
Right.
I rewrote the whole ending. That original ending just completely 100% got thrown out the window. So I'm like, okay, I'm just not even like planning or like forcing any of this now. I'm just gonna like go with it and see what happens, because actually that other ending turned out to be much better. Got me in a little bit of trouble with somebody, but you know, it turned out better. Okay, trust
character.
I know.
I mean, I tried all these little, like, the index cards, putting every scene in the index cards, and, you know, and putting every character on the index cards and doing, you know, try to be a good little writer, and it never works out. So one day I just took the index cards and I just threw them up in the air, and I said a bad word, you know, and I said, fine. I'll just go back to my original writing.
Exactly. Yep. Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah.
I have decided I am nothing but an extension of the keyboard. Just sitting there. My fingers are doing what they're being told to do, and I'm just a conduit, you know, because there are so many times I'll be typing away. I say this so often. I'll be typing away, and sometimes my eyes will leave me closed because I'm a very visual writer. I'll get done and thank God most of the time my fingers are on the right keys. Now, I have had them on the wrong key, and I've had to start all over again. Because it's not good when your eyes are closed and you don't know what fingers, you know, what keys your fingers are on. But when I do have the key, my fingers on the right keys, I'll go back and read it. I'm like, holy smokes, where'd that come from, you know? Because a lot of times it's just like, you know, you're just watching a movie, and like you said, your characters are imitating the story, you know, and... You know,
and that's the best way to write.
It is. But you know what? If we were to say this years ago, they would have sent us off to one of them great big institutions and hooked us up to the chair with the electrical stuff. Because we're having full-blown conversations with invisible characters.
Yeah.
You know, we're having, you know, and, you know, really if you think about it, God, we're lucky we're not in the room with padding and, you know, those jackets that make you hug you and everything, you know. So,
But have you ever thought about this? Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought that maybe we're the characters?
I'm sorry, have a what?
I was teasing. I said, have you ever thought about that? We're actually the characters?
In their world.
In their world.
In their real world, the fake ones, and they're the real ones.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, before we run out of time, girls, because we're having way too much fun, tell us about your blogging. What type of blogging do you do?
When I do blogging, I mostly do CD reviews, reviews of books, TV shows I'm watching, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to submit my book to you for a review. Hint, 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 wink, wink.
Yeah. Not hinting at all.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Do you have certain things that you have, guidelines for your reviews?
Mostly I'll review pretty much most things fiction. I've done like YA, I've done suspense mm-hmm. stories, I've done erotica, I've done, almost any kind of genre. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I have to follow your blog and check it out and everything. I always like to find, because I like to find good blogs to read because I'm like the world's worst blogger. I try to read other people so I can learn how to do it properly because I'm really not all that good. I try. It's not that I don't.
I get like that
really
too.
Suck.
I get in these phases where I'm like, okay, I'm being productive with it. I'll put out a post a day for a couple of weeks or something like that, and then I'll go weeks or months, without really putting anything on my blog just because okay, well, this is going on, that's going on. I'm writing this or I'm trying to edit this book, so it's then I...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the blog.
Yeah, and I have tons of great ideas, but I just never get to these great ideas. So that's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. I have the same problem.
It's hard when whenever the characters are keeping you distracted anyway.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And they're, when they're yelling in your ear going, you need to write this, it's hard to do other things. It just,
I just need somebody to take over all of my stuff, and all I want to do is write. That's the perfect world.
That's the dream.
Oh, that's the ultimate dream of every indie author.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. We all have that dream, of just writing. But then, in all honesty, we need these other distractions or we would just get stale. See, if we don't have, if we don't have things that challenge us and push us and make us crazy, how are we going to turn out our great books?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. I get
it. You guys bought that, didn't you? I made you believe that line of bull.
No, because I hate book covers. I hate trying to create book covers. I hate that job. And I'm not
She does. She does. You should hear her. Sometimes she'll be working on it. She'll go, she just, if you want to hear Lisa Vanderveer go absolutely ape, crazy, tell her to make you a cover.
No. I refuse.
But now, you don't make any of yours. You hire that work out yourself?
Yeah, I actually get my covers from a friend of ours.
Okay.
Yeah, but my husband actually connected with her first and got some covers made by her. And so when I needed new covers, I went to her and I was so happy with the new Stan series covers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what she comes up with for the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, the people that are listening tonight on Blog Talk, they can see the slideshow and you can see her covers, and I was telling her before the show started, she's got absolutely stunning covers for her books. So,
the other artist
does really good work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the light worker ones I found from another friend on Twitter. She had a Etsy shop at the time that she was selling covers on, and I got those from that. Yeah, so that's another one. And
Okay, yeah.
That's awesome.
But now, okay, let me get some stuff because we're running out of time. Now, everybody, we have our website here, and we have her Amazon link and her blog link. And if you go to deadlyreads.com and you go into the month of August for the Deadly Reads radio tab, you can find her in there, and we can find all her social media links. We do want you to go and hook up with Jamie and follow her and go check out her books because they look really exciting and good after everything she told us about them tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And follow her blog, and I'm sure she'd appreciate it very much. Leave her reviews after you bought her books. That makes a writer happy. We love reviews. They make us happy.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
That is food for our soul.
Yes, it is.
And it is. It puts a smile on her face. You know, nothing makes us happier than to see that we've touched somebody's heart from our books. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, Jamie, do you have any last-minute things you'd like to share with us before Blog Talk cuts us off for the night?
I'd just like to say thank you for having me, and thank you to everyone who's listening. I hope you will connect and you have some fun on social media.
Oh, thank you. We've had a blast.
Thank
I'm sorry
you.
We were a little spastic tonight, but
it happened.
No, that's fine. It was fun.
Nah. No, it's fun. I enjoy guests like you where we can just relax and enjoy ourselves and, you know, and really have a great conversation. So it's been a great conversation with you tonight. So I appreciate
mm-hmm.
that.
Very, very
thank
much
you.
So.
Makes it fun.
Now,
yeah.
Do want to let Jamie and the listeners know that I will be making a YouTube video of tonight's show. It'll go on the Deadly Reads YouTube channel. So if you want to listen to it again and see the pictures, or if you want to listen to it on the archive, you can. So any of you that listen tonight, let your friends know if they miss Jamie tonight that they can use the same link that you did. Or they can go to the Deadly Reads YouTube channel when I get it up, and they can watch it there and listen to her there. And that way everybody can get to know more about Jamie, get to know her and her books. And I bet you that would make Jamie real happy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it would.
Well, great. We had a good time. And wow. I can't believe that hour went fast. We were having way too much fun, ladies.
I know.
Yes, we were having too much fun. You'll have to come back. So anytime
yes,
you get
you.
Ready to
that.
Come back, please, please get a hold of me, you know, through the email and everything, and we will gladly get you mm-hmm. on another show. So,
if you've got a book launch you mm-hmm. want to, you know, announce or anything, just let us know, and we'll mm-hmm. be here to help.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you. That'd be great.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to let you go and let you have a nice evening with your hubby and your sweet little cat. Hopefully no more thunderstorms will move through this evening and scare her.
Yeah,
no,
her
you're kidding.
Tonight, so she should be okay.
Bless that baby.
Nothing's worse than a scared cat. They, you know, they kind of have a tendency
of
doing
no.
the whole claw
she,
thing.
She'll be... Yeah. The only thing, she'll be waiting for her little serving of canned food.
No.
Oh, yeah, she'll probably, like, jump on us as soon as we walk in, like, where is it?
Yeah.
It amazes me about a cat or a dog. They can be sound asleep. Everything is going on
mm-hmm.
around them. You go into the kitchen and start opening
a can. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. They are there
in
a blink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fun little creatures. Gotta love them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jamie, we're going to tell you good night before Blog Talk gets us off of here. You have a nice evening. We hope to have you back on with us again sometime in the future. And
thank you.
Best of luck.
Have a great night.
Best of luck with your books and keep writing those great stories for people to read.
Good night, Jamie.
I will. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, Jamie.
Good night.
Mm-hmm.
She was really, really nice. I enjoyed that with her. Didn't you?
Yes. She was a delight. So I really enjoyed the show tonight. She's a very sweet girl.
Mm-hmm.
So
very nice.
I'm interested in the book she was talking about. So.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
They sound like great books. So read, everybody that listened tonight, go check out her books because they do sound like they'd be really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, next week we have another great author joining us, April Ann Rain. She's quite the prolific author, too. She's written a whole bunch of books, so I know it's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you'll join us here next Thursday. In the meantime, everybody, stay safe. Lisa, what do you got going on this weekend? You're going to your mother's for her birthday, you said, isn't it?
Yes, it's her birthday, and so the family's getting together. We don't get together much, and so it's nice to get together with them and see everybody. And so wishing her a happy birthday, and it's going to be a great weekend. So we're looking forward to that.
Well, tell her hi for me. Tell her hi for me. Well, everybody, it's been another fun evening on Deadly Reads Radio. Tell you what, I just absolutely adore Jamie. I hope she comes back to join us on the show again. She was a real pleasure.
Yeah, she was a pleasure.
And, laughed ourselves silly. I think we spent almost half of the show laughing tonight. So
yeah,
so that
that's
was fun.
I like that. I like that. I like these shows where we're more relaxed and having fun and everything. There's been, so it's good. It's all good.
Fun. It's fun. Okay, everybody. Well, we're going to call it a wrap, and we're going to get out of here. Everybody stay safe. Have a good week, and we will see you back here next Thursday night, 9 o'clock, same place, same channel. See you later, folks.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Oh, my goodness.